Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Amen.
As you may have read about in the Thursday news email, over the summer, Bishop Sutton invited all of the parishes in the diocese to participate in an event today, sponsored by Interfaith Light and Power and Chesapeake Climate Action Network, called Climate in the Pulpits, Maryland. Scheduled to coincide with the visit of Pope Francis to our region, the hope was to raise up the care of creation and issues of climate justice in light of the release earlier this summer of Pope Francis's papal encyclical, Laudato Si, on care for our common home. Now, I have to say that I know more about this pope in particular and the release of this encyclical than I ever thought I would. I'm not what one would call a pope watcher, though I do have some very nice pope swag that people have given me as gifts because they know of my love of holy kitsch, including a Pope Francis with a solar cell who waves while in the sunlight. But during my time as the interim rector at Memorial Episcopal Church, I came to work closely with the pastors of the Presbyterian and Roman Catholic churches just down the block, as there was a long-standing relationship between the three parishes. Part of that relationship included an annual Lenten Supper series with a forum, the topic of which would change yearly. This year, because of the widespread interest in Pope Francis, the forums were about him, and each of us were called on to explore a different aspect of his leadership. And so it was that I found myself learning and talking about his stance on environmental theology in anticipation of his then upcoming encyclical. I have to say that in the hubbub of the summer, I didn't have a chance to sit down and really dig in to Laudato Si, which, in case you're wondering, comes from St. Francis's Canticle to the Sun. Laudato Si, mi Signore. Praise to you, my Lord. And specifically this line from the canticle, which I think is quite beautiful. Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, and who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs. I did skim through Laudato Si, and I've read a few analyses of it. I don't give authority to the Pope the way Roman Catholics do, of course, and I see both shortcomings and oversteps in it. But at its heart, I find this encyclical exciting in its bold call for a renewed solidarity movement. Now, as I mentioned in my news blurb, I wasn't yet here at St. James when Bishop Sutton extended the invitation to participate in Climate in the Pulpits. But from what I knew then of this community, and from what I saw in your vision and mission statements, I went ahead and marked my calendar, and I requested the materials offered so I could review and share them. Accordingly, I've placed a few copies of two publications from the National Council of Churches about climate and church and energy and ethics on the side tables by the name tags, along with, if you are interested, petitions that you may sign, which will be sent to our Maryland legislators asking them to renew the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Act and to expand Maryland's clean energy standard. So what, you may be wondering, does all of this, interfaith power and light, Pope Francis, and petitions have to do with us and today's scripture? I think it comes down to this word that I just mentioned, and that is solidarity. In an article published last week in Commonweal Magazine entitled Embracing Our Limits, former Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams reflected on the lessons of Laudato Si. He remarked on how striking the encyclical's consistent emphasis on solidarity is, calling it a rule of thumb test for moral defensibility of any policy. And what is more, Williams expanded on Francis, saying we need to discover a spirituality rooted in, quote, that global solidarity which flows from the mystery of the Trinity. There is a turn here from the classic definition of solidarity, a union or fellowship arising from common responsibilities and interests, becomes something deeper when it is overlaid with theological import. Listen to section 240 of Laudato Si, which is what Williams quoted. The divine persons are subsistent relations and the world, created according to the divine model. It is a web of relationships. Creatures tend toward God, and in turn, it is proper to every living being to tend towards other things, so that throughout the universe, we can find any number of constant and secretly interwoven relationships. This leads us not only to marvel at the manifold connections existing among creatures, but also to discover a key to our own fulfillment. The human person grows more, matures more, and is sanctified more to the extent that he or she enters into relationships, going out from themselves to live in communion with God, with others, and with all creatures. In this way, they make their own that Trinitarian dynamism which God imprinted in them when they were created. Everything is interconnected, and this invites us to develop a spirituality of that global solidarity which flows from the mystery of the Trinity. This solidarity is about more than catching together with like-minded people in common self-interest. This solidarity is about actually believing we are each made in the image of God, and then acting accordingly, based not on common self-interest, but on common responsibility rooted in love. Esther was someone who shows us this kind of solidarity. She was someone who had courage for community. The short excerpt from the book of Esther that we read today doesn't show the fullness of the complex story found there. And I highly recommend setting aside 30 minutes, although it might not even take you that long, to read this book in its entirety. But what we do have today shows a queen who is harboring a secret identity and whose people are coming under attack. The decision is before her. Does she out herself in an attempt to save her people, or does she keep her secret and watch them perish? Self-interest dictates her solidarity should be with the royal household and the political rulings of her husband. But Esther is drawn to solidarity with her people, Jews living in exile and residing in the Persian Empire, not, it seems, because of connection through religious practices and institutions of Judaism, as those are virtually absent from this text, but from a deep-seated understanding of identity rooted in God and in community. The plea comes from her uncle Mordecai. Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. For just such a time as this. On the cusp of ruin, facing down the assurance of destruction of life as she knew it. For such a time as this, when sea levels are rising, weather is swinging between extremes, and we may well be on the brink of the Earth's sixth mass extinction. Again, Rowan Williams on Laudato Si. Measureless acquisition, consumption, and economic growth in a finite environment is a nonsensical idea. How the multiplication of pure consumer choice produces not greater diversity or liberty, but a sense of endless repetition of the same and a lack of hope for the future. The underlying issue facing our world is a loss of meaning. Heady stuff, but spot on. True solidarity is rooted in incarnation, which is in relationship with the divine, and that is where meaning is found. Esther loved her uncle, her people, and her God. That love led her to solidarity and her working the royal system to reverse the edict against the Jews. This is a bold love because it shows us what it looks like to claim a spiritual identity. Esther was from a people who had assimilated into the Persian Empire around them. It was a time of exile for the Jews. It was easy under such circumstances to forget who they were and to whom they ultimately belonged. Life is not so very different for us. How is it that we, as followers of Christ, assimilate into American culture? Patriotic observances, sports, celebrity obsessions, our political battles. We, like Esther, at some point must come to such a time as this, when we too must take stock and make a choice about where our solidarity lies. With God and each other and all of creation, or with the powers that be? The call of Climate in the Pulpits was to pull us toward solidarity with God and each other and all of creation. But more importantly, the gospel calls us towards such solidarity. For the good news of Jesus Christ is one of love incarnate that draws all of creation together in unity and in peace. And so I'd like to close with one of the closing prayers from Laudate Si, a prayer that Pope Francis wrote called A Prayer for Our Earth. All-powerful God, you are present in the whole universe and in the smallest of your creatures. You embrace with your tenderness all that exists. Pour out upon us the power of your love, that we may protect life and beauty. Fill us with peace, that we may live as brothers and sisters, harming no one. O God of the poor, help us to rescue the abandoned and forgotten of this earth, so precious in your eyes. Bring healing to our lives, that we may protect the world and not prey on it, that we may sow beauty, not pollution and destruction. Touch the hearts of those who look only for gain at the expense of the poor and the earth. Teach us to discover the worth of each thing, to be filled with awe and contemplation, to recognize that we are profoundly united with every creature as we journey toward your infinite light. We thank you for being with us each day. Encourage us, we pray, in our struggle for justice, love, and peace. Amen.